Hello, friends. I'm Brian Peart, and I want to welcome you to the Great Awareness Podcast, a podcast focused on helping Christians make sense of this world we are in. The goal is to encourage, but never at the expense of truth. We will take the truth found in Scripture and apply it to the real spiritual battles going on today. We will ignore preconceived beliefs, news media noise, and politicians' words, and look at actions, what is really going on. Then use the truth of Scripture to accurately discern the times and how we need to respond. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And that is what we are going to attempt to do with each podcast. Get to the truth so we can live as we've been called. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for an opportunity to serve you, Lord. I thank you for this fellowship, friendship here that you've given us. Lord, I just pray that you be with me during this podcast, that you help me present everything the way you'd have it presented, and Lord, that it be captured properly, and Lord, I just pray your hand be on it in Jesus' name, amen. Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of The Great Awareness. Today, I'm going to go back to the heart of this podcast, looking at what is going on around us and seeing with clear eyes through Scripture what's really going on. And a lot has been going on over the last few months. We're here on December 3rd, 2024. And over the last few months, Trump's had a landslide victory. Ukraine has begun to attack Russia directly with our missiles and our help. Israel and Lebanon, and there's just a lot going on. And we're going to discuss these things against the backdrop of Scripture and use that to see possibly what is next. First, kind of a refresher on the timeline I'm using and the war I believe we are in. I shared in my podcast, The Nonprofit Prophecy, that I was reading once out of 2 Peter 3:8, and God kind of impacted something in my life. So back... 2 Peter is Peter actually defending from people that were criticizing why hadn't the Lord come back yet. So the early disciples thought that the Lord was coming back before they were dead. So they thought it was imminent when the Lord was coming back. And in 2 Peter, Peter begins to defend why he hasn't come back yet. And as I was reading it, I came to 2 Peter 3, verse 8, where it says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat, but the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." That verse... in 3:8, where it says, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day. What God kind of impressed in my heart at that time was, you know, Jesus was in the ground for 2 days, and then he rose on the third day. So 2 days, 2,000 years, the third day is 1,000 years. When Jesus comes back, he's going to set up 1,000-year reign on this planet. That's the third day, the 1,000 years. It's a millennial reign on this planet. So the 2 days, 2,000 years, is from the time of his crucifixion to now. That's what I feel was the church age, the time given to the church to make a difference in this world. And that's what I felt back there 4 or 5 years ago when I did it. So if he was crucified in 33 AD, which is where most people, scholars, when they look at, you know, earthquake references and all this stuff, they pin 33 AD as the most likely time when Jesus is crucified, then 2,000 years after that is 2033, which is right around the corner. That is the end of the church age, or what I felt led in that time. Now, there are other examples besides 2 Peter that I've discovered since that time that talk about the 2 days. In Exodus chapter 19, verses 10 and 11, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people.'" Again, him coming for us on that third day. "Come and let us return." Oh, Hosea is another reference in the Old Testament talking about, prophesying about this two-day timeline. It says in Hosea 6, chapters 1 and 2, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight." That's maybe a reference to the rapture there where he raises us up, okay, where he comes after, again, 2 days or 2,000 years. And even in Psalm 90, verse 4, it says, one of God's days is like 1,000 of our years. So 2033 is, I think, when thereabouts when he's going to come. Now, God doesn't have to be tied to any sort of exacts, and no one knows the exact day or hour. God can choose to come whenever. But if we use this as a rough timeline, 2033 with his coming, then the tribulation period is a seven-year period. 7 years before 2033 would be when it starts, which is 2026. When you overlay this general timeline, this, you know, 2,000-year timeline, 2026, the tribulation period starts, 2033 is when Jesus actually finally comes at the end. Overlaying this general timeline with what I believe is a third world war, which I believe we are in, you get some amazing parallels. Right after Putin attacked Ukraine back on February 24th, 2022, I did a podcast about that time. And at the time, if you remember, we were going to sanction Putin and this was all going to, you know, blow over in a couple months because there's no way Putin could survive if the whole world sanctions him. And I did a podcast shortly after that that said I didn't think that was the case, that I actually thought that his attack of Ukraine was very much like World War III, was the start of World War III. I shared the analogy of World War II, where Hitler attacked Poland in 1939, and at the time they weren't calling it World War II. A couple of years later, when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, that's when they looked back and they said, all right, we are now in a world war, and it started back when Hitler attacked Putin. I think the same thing, I mean, when Putin attacked Ukraine, I think the same thing's going to happen here. The first world war was 4 years, the second was six. I believe the third, this one that we're in, is going to be 8 years, four, six, eight. I believe it's going to end in 2030. And so we are in world war. What the last piece that has to happen is some sort of attack out in the either the Far East or an attack actually on America, something where the world will realize this is not just a skirmish in Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Hamas, but it's actually now much more a world war. And you see the sides lining up, but no one wants to call it that yet. But once that next shoe falls, that's when they're gonna realize it's a world war, and they'll probably pin it back to when Putin attacked Ukraine as the start of it. We're about a third of the way in, and it was about a third of the way into World War II when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor and brought us into the war. Daniel's prophecy in Scripture is the only one that gives us the seven-year period for tribulation. Jesus confirmed Daniel's prophecy by referencing the abomination that causes desolation spoken of by Daniel. So in Matthew 24:15, Jesus said, when you see the abomination that causes desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, then run. When you go to Daniel 9:27, he talks about this seven-year period. Daniel's the only one that mentions a seven-year period. If you read Revelation, it doesn't give a seven-year period. If you read Jesus's discourse on it, it doesn't give a seven-year period. Only Daniel does. And we know it's a seven-year because he says this timeline's going to start with the Antichrist making a peace treaty with many. And then in the middle of the time, he would break that peace treaty and set up the abomination that causes desolation. And then in Daniel 12, he says, from the time that that happens, the midpoint where he sets up the abomination to the end is 1,260 days or 3.5 years. So if the midpoint to the end is 3.5 years, then the beginning to the midpoint is 3.5 years. You have a seven-year period. So Daniel is the only one that kind of shares that. And Jesus affirmed it, so we can really take it to the bank. We can feel confident that it's going to be a seven-year period. So 2026, if I'm right about this 2,000-year thing, 2026 is going to start with some sort of treaty, not with all, with many. And then 3.5 years later, in 2030, he sets up the abomination. So when you see that the end of what I think the World War III will be 2030, that's also when the abomination of desolation would be set up, 2030, according to this timeline, it's all kind of meshing up. It's all kind of coming together. And between now and 2026, this world war will continue. I know Trump has boldly claimed that he's going to stop these wars as soon as he gets in, and I hope he does. I really hope he does. I hope I'm absolutely wrong, actually, because I don't want any of this to be true, because it's not, I'm not I'm not selling my position, you know? When stock people are saying the stocks are going to go up and they're going to keep going up because of AI and all this other stuff, they're saying that because they need it to go up because that they're making money off of that stock. They're selling their position. But if I'm right, my business is going to get hurt. And I'm not selling any end of the world like gadgetry or anything. I mean, there is no objective here other than to try to see what's happening and speak the truth and maybe prepare a few people so that they're at least ready to handle what's to come. And we'll talk about that at the very end. But I think between now and 2026, this war will continue, that the next big piece actually is about to fall. So it's December of 2024. Back in August, I did a podcast called The War Around Us, where I shared the not-so-subtle attempt to destroy America by our very own government, okay? I talked about the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve wants to crash our economy, okay? That's not what they're going to say out in the papers. They want a soft landing. That's what all the talk is about, a soft landing. But the Federal Reserve right now is losing billions. They lost over $100 billion in 2023. They'll probably lose more than that in 2024. The reason they're losing money is because back in, after COVID, so little backdrop on how the economy works, how America works, okay? We print our money, okay? But that money is printed and then passed through as treasury stocks, okay? As long as people are continuing to buy United States treasuries, we can continue to print our own money. If the world stops buying our United States treasuries, we're basically bankrupt because we cannot pay our bills without borrowing at least $2 trillion every year, okay? That is where we're at now. We're almost to the point where $2 trillion a year is needed on top of the $5 trillion the federal government brings in just to pay all their bills, okay? So after COVID, no one was buying our treasuries. So the Federal Reserve stepped in and began a process of buying $80 billion every month of treasuries. And they did that for about 20 months until they got stability in the markets and people were buying our treasuries again. When they bought all those treasuries, they bought them when the rates were 2%. Now, bond rates and prices go inverse. So when the rates are low, the price is high. So the Federal Reserve paid high prices for those treasuries. But now the rates are higher and the prices are lower. So now when they're trying to sell those treasuries, they're selling them at a loss, a big loss. And so the only way they can get back to profitability is to get the interest rates back to 2%. The only way they're going to get the interest rates back to 2% is to crash the economy. So even though they're out there saying they're trying to curb inflation and bring a soft landing in, the truth is they want to crash the economy. And so we're going to be fighting the Federal Reserve because they want to crash it. They are going to keep the interest rates higher for longer. You can point to they've dropped rates a little bit this year, but you got to remember what we're talking about here. Over the last few years, they've raised rates 5.5%. That's like, imagine you're going up a building that's 55 flights of stairs, okay? This year, they've lowered them 0.75 points. So they came down 7 flights. We're still 47 flights up from where we were, okay? They've only done a little bit to kind of show that they're trying to help things. But the truth is they're keeping it higher for longer and they're going to continue to keep it higher for longer. I also shared in that podcast that there's been plants actually in the U.S. of Chinese military men outside of major cities in the Midwest, okay? Not by far right people, but by actually eyewitness accounts. And I shared about fentanyl, China being the number one producer of illegal fentanyl and how they've bought up our farmland. In other words, the stage is set for America to come to get attacked and to be brought down on many fronts. Okay. And then into this place comes the curveball of Trump. I really don't think that he is part of that agenda. I really think he's kind of an outsider that agenda, that's kind of against that agenda. And whether you like him or not, I think that's there's someone up there trying not to destroy America. And so maybe he helps push this timeline back, and I hope he does. But I think it's so far gone, and the fact that his inauguration is just 50 days away, I just feel like that group that wants to take down America still wants to take down America, and they're not going to stop just because Trump's elected. In fact, what's possible is it speeds up their timeline to do something drastic between now and his inauguration. So if I'm right, and we're in World War III, and it's 8 years, and we're about a third of the way through it, then using that World War II analogy, about a third of the way through it, something big's about to happen. And it seems to me like that big thing would happen before his inauguration on the 20th, when he has more ability to do things and to move forward with his agenda. So what is that going to look like? I don't know. Will it be an assassination attempt on Trump? Will it be a bombing in Korea, South Korea, North Korea? Will it be some attack on us directly through the electrical grid, or cyber terrorism, or chemical, or even an outright bomb? I don't know. But I feel like something's going to toss us. Something big's going to happen. And that big thing will likely toss us into a depression. Okay, not a recession, but a depression. This economy is teetering on a very shallow line. 80% of the country is struggling mightily. That's really why Trump got elected. The stocks keep rolling to highs, and they may even have a Santa Claus rally and rally for a few more weeks. But it's really on seven main stocks that this whole rally is happening, and the hope that AI is going to make it different this time, where there won't be a correction because it's going to just keep going up, which is always the story you hear at market tops. And the Fed wants a crash, and you can't, you know, there's an old adage, can't fight the Fed. So some catalyst is all that's needed to toss this thing into just a tailspin that sets the stage for 2026 to happen in the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Black Monday in 1929 was what started the Great Depression, but it didn't really bottom until 1933. So it takes a few years for the market to initial correction to work into things. And a couple years is where it sits. So when you do that, when you look at that and you put it all up to scripture, when you read Revelation, you'll see the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the sixth seal, Revelation chapter 6 tells us what it's going to look like during that tribulation time. If this is right around the corner, if this is in 2026, then this is what we're looking at possibly in 2026. Now, Revelation, the first three chapters of Revelation are letters to the churches. They're letters to actual churches, but they also represent different typecasts of Christians. So there's a backslider church, and there's a lukewarm church, and there's a sold-out church. And so there's letters to each of them, and he challenges them what to do. In chapter 4, John is called up to heaven to look at and see what's to come. And then chapter 5, we see this scene in heaven where there's a scroll that's the deed to the planet Earth, and they're asking who's worthy to open it, and the only one found worthy was the Lamb, Jesus. And so Jesus steps forward and opens the first seal of the scroll. So Revelation chapter 6 is where we see the beginning of the first set of judgments. So in Revelation, there's the six seal judgments, the seven seal judgments, then the seven trumpet judgments, and then there's the seven bowl judgments. So this starts it all off. And so as I'm going to read now right out of Revelation chapter 6 with the opening of the first seal, this is what we're likely to see. These first four seals are what's called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You may have heard of that, you know, in lore even, but it's the four horsemen, and each one represents, mostly they represent war and starvation and famine, and that's what we're likely to see. So the stage is set. This is what's coming, and so I'm going to read now Revelation 6. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, the Lamb being Jesus, opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. So that's war. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. So again, fighting, war. the third seal. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." Now I heard a eschatologist, those are people that really study the end times, I heard him describe this. He said that a quart of wheat is what's needed to make a loaf of bread, and a denarius is a day's wage. So what that's saying is it's going to cost a day's wage for just a loaf of bread. Let's say you make 50,000 a year, that's 1,000 a week. That makes it easy for me to do it. That's 200 bucks a day is what you're making. At the end times, there's going to be 200 bucks for a loaf of bread. That's what we're going to actually kind of see, that kind of inflation. And it's happened before. This time it's going to be kind of worldwide, not isolated to one country. And then it says, do not harm the oil and the wine, which he said was indicative of wealth. So it's likely that most of the people are going to experience it, except the super wealthy. But the rest of them are going to be, there's going to be a lot of famine, a lot of starvation, a lot of hardship, bread lines, things we haven't seen since the Great Depression. And then the fourth seal. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. So by the time these four horsemen are done, one quarter of the entire world will be gone. 2 billion people will be dead from scarcity, hunger, war, etc. Okay. That's going to happen between 2026 and 2030 per the timeline I've kind of shared. And the catalyst is this world war we are in. We're in precarious times. We just need some catastrophe to tip the scales and start the ball rolling heavily to that time. And I believe by January 20th of 2025, that catalyst happens. I don't know what it is. But I know I can't stop it or control it, and I actually hope I'm wrong about it. But if it's coming, what do we do? Okay? So Jesus tells us in Matthew 24 and 25 exactly how we're to live during distressing times. And I did a podcast on it called Living in Distressed Times. And I encourage you to listen to that podcast. We're to be ready. Okay, he describes three parables about being ready, about being working, and about storing up some stuff for scarcity. And I talk about how that looks like and what you should do. But the biggest thing I want to share on this podcast, I want to encourage you to listen to that one, but don't be scared, okay? God is in control. Be ready, be working. You can't stop it. So be doing the job you've been called to do. Be out there loving on people and loving on others. But don't be scared, because God is in control. He works all things for good. So even if some tough stuff is coming, God's going to work it for good. Okay? Now, why do you want to keep working? Well, one, I could be wrong, and I hope I am. But two, you just can't control it, right? Our responsibilities is to love God and love others. Okay. Personally, the next 2 months, I'm not taking any trips anywhere. You know, I'm conserving my funds a little, and I've done the things that I share in that podcast. So I'm ready as much as I can be. But other than that, I'm going to wake up every day, love on God, love on people, and move forward. And the guidelines that Jesus shares is straight from Jesus himself in Matthew 24 and 25. It's good stuff. So don't be afraid. Be positive. Know that God is in control, okay? And move forward loving on people and loving others. I'm going to end this time with a prayer, which I don't always do, but I feel like it's an important time in our lives here. And again, you know, hopefully I'm wrong, but you know, be ready, because we can handle almost anything if we know something's coming. It's when we get blindsided that it really messes with us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for just your love, for your Holy Spirit, for what you send down on us, the power and the access we have to your love and to your Spirit through what Jesus did on that cross. Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you for the fact that you are in control, Lord, and that your will be done. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asked for the cup to be taken from him, and you said no, and And he said, not my will, but your will be done. And I just pray that should things happen that are what we would consider unpleasing, that we understand that your will be done, that we continue to love on you and love on others, and that we learn and grow during this time. And Lord, I know you're coming soon, and it's a and that's exciting in and of itself. So Lord, I just pray right now that you will protect President Trump, and that you will be on this country and on all those believers that are zealously for you, Lord. I know there's many of them out there, and Lord, I just pray your hand on all of them now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Visit thegreatawareness.net to access archived podcasts and audiobooks.